Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
And welcome to the Talking Hockey Podcast.
More energy.
This is episode 103.
I don't think it's possible for Ty to exert more energy.
I am very energetic. I've had a great day today. And I'm ending it off with you guys as well, so that makes it even better.
Why was today great, Ty?
You know what? Just a lot of things happened. Just a day. It's been a day. Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin. We're going to see Batman on Friday. Yeah.
Did you see Batman, Martin?
No, I'm going next week.
It's like three hours long, so yeah.
No. I heard Batman lives.
Or dies. I heard that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
Really? I thought Batman was Robert Pattinson. That's interesting.
It's an interesting fact.
Bruce Wayne, I've never heard of that actor.
Yeah, Eric's not here again. These episodes are always a lot better because, you know, you don't need to listen to his voice, as we always say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always takes control of these podcasts. So it's nice that we get to hear Martin a little bit more. We get to hear Luke a little bit more.
Eric's hanging out in Mexico.
That's right. Yeah. He's going to get there. He almost didn't make it because he tested positive for COVID. But, you know, these rules have changed. He's in Mexico. He said... This is where it gets crazy. So we always do our podcast at 8 o'clock because I work till 8 most days these days. And then also Eric doesn't work normal hours. Like he works at least 12 a day. And, you know, so today he messaged us, can we do earlier than 8 o'clock?
Like five or six?
Yeah, can we do 5 or 6? Because that's when I'm done work. And we're like, what the hell? Why?
When have you ever been done working 5 or 6, Eric?
Yeah, and as Luke pointed out, like half the time we're doing this podcast at 8 o'clock, he gets a phone call.
Yeah, and I was like, Eric, you can't just tell us the day of that you want to do 5 or 6 from now on, when literally the three of us have always wanted earlier, because then we can watch the hockey games. Half the time, Martin's probably got a game on right now. But most of the time, Martin is watching a hockey game while we record and responding in live action, live time to those games. So I was like, just another example of Eric's superior level of communication. Last week, I was like, hey guys, since we're going to the Leafs game on Wednesday night, we should record it on Tuesday, about like 4 days in advance, or like as soon as we got the tickets. And everyone was on board with that. Eric is normally like 4 hours ahead of time and then doesn't respond at all. He just goes camouflages for the next 4 hours until he's right at the time.
Yeah. And we're like, he didn't message us all day. And then at like 6 o'clock, he's like, I'm not feeling good. I'm not going to join.
we were like, hey, and Robert and I were like, hey, Eric, can you get your do your test before we go to the game? Because our lives will be negatively impacted if you don't. Luckily, I had a test lying around for Robert because Eric didn't test before he went to the game. And then we're at the game and he's like, hey, guys, I tested positive, by the way. And we're like, thank you. This would have been very useful 5 hours ago when we asked for it and you said you were going to do it. And then just fucked off for the next 7 hours. So
I don't know how Eric arranged for this to be in Mexico and he can finish work at 6 o'clock as well. Like, why can't he do that when he's here?
Who knows? That's a good question.
Who knows? He's probably just leaving. Like, he's probably just dipping out of work.
He's probably said for the next month he's got like therapy sessions at 6 o'clock. Yeah, family exactly. Family therapy sessions for the next at 6 o'clock.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. He's like, we got a month's intensive work course. That's probably what he does. Do you think Eric actually does work while he's at work though? Like
all the time? No. Yeah. Like,
I mean, I don't even know what he does half the time now, because for the first year at the job, he would create talking hockey content half the day, and now there's none. So it's like literally two different worlds. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's nuts.
Anyways, hockey world.
Phil Kessel got to fly home. That was cool.
We can talk about that. That good was pretty legendary move by Arizona, a team that only can't afford the arena that they're in. Yeah, they got a charter flight for the man Phil Kessel to continue his iron streak, so to be home in time for his child's birth. I still don't really know how that's working, unless the child was born at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, is flying home 2 hours early really gonna change anything? I guess because the Leafs would be coming to, sorry, Arizona would be coming to Toronto next,
right?
So exactly. I guess it does make sense. Yeah.
So sorry, yeah, he would have to go in. Yeah. So take that back, Luke. Yeah. I mean, it was cool that he played one shift. He got a good scoring chance out of it. Yeah. He almost scored.
Could you imagine? Then,
yeah, I know.
That would be really awesome.
Yeah.
That'd have been like Steven Stamkos playing one shift in the Stanley Cup playoffs, getting a goal,
scoring, and then
type leaving. Stuff. No, that was pretty good. Classy move.
Can you believe they could afford a charter flight, a private jet for Phil Kessel?
I'm a little surprised about this. Like, did he have to split it with them? Like,
probably.
Okay.
I mean, how much do you think a charter flight like that would be?
A couple thousand dollars at least.
Yeah. Phil Kessel, that's like probably an average dinner for Kessel that he could afford if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Kessel's definitely got some cash.
He makes $8 million a year, no?
Yeah.
So what we wanted to talk about, I mean, there's not much more there, but what we wanted to talk about was there was a bit of Twitter beef over the past week on social media where Alan Walsh was ripping on Dom Lecision of The Athletic.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty comical.
It was really funny.
It was really funny. As someone who enjoys both of them and has spoken about their work on the podcast in the past, I did think Alan had really bad takes, but entertaining nonetheless. And now the jokes, the subtle shots have taken place throughout the rest of the week. For those that don't know, Dom basically he just posted a graphic not having Huberto in his top 10 for the heart race. Alan Walsh responded, imagine not having like the second top three in points in your heart trophy list. And then Dom came back with something. And then Alan was like, I heard people in the industry don't even like you, so fuck you, basically, is what he said.
It was really funny.
It was really funny, but I'm like, wow, this is...
I'm going to go find the tweets. Totally unprofessional. Let's go get the receipts out here, okay?
And Dom was like, I've heard the same thing about you, so I'm happy that we can... I appreciate you standing up for your client, but I've heard the same thing about you. It was hilarious. I'll try to link to the Twitter thread in the description if Ty finds it and sends it to the group. Ty, when you find it, send it to the group.
Okay.
Dom's always got the defense that it's literally not him. It's an unbiased, like he puts it into like a equation type thing and spits out the results based on his formula for getting the Hart Trophy winner.
Yeah.
So what this says, what the tweet said that Alan Walsh said was, Yes, I admit. So it's basically like, because Alan Walsh was like, "Where's Huberto in your ranking, essentially, in your Hart Trophy ranking?" And then they had a bit of back and forth, and Alan Walsh said, "Yes, I admit my bias. I'm open about it. Just read my mission statement. What's your excuse?" Several great reporters working at The Athletic have texted me that you're an embarrassment. Hashtag Homer.
And how did Dom respond?
And Dom was like, if Huberto was on, because basically what the thing was that, is that like he had Matthews, I think, is somewhere in his top.
Matthews was one.
Yeah. Okay, Matthews was one. And then Dom replied with, if Matthews played for Florida and Huberto played for Toronto, nothing in my article would change. But I got similar messages about you, so I guess we're even.
Yeah.
But them being an embarrassment is what.
And
is
they're
about.
Both friends. I mean, they Alan works closely with people at Steve Dangle Podcast Network, whatever, and they also like Dom. So I can't. I can imagine that there was probably some conversations between them about the whole situation, but I mean. If you look at the actual data, there isn't really a good case for Huberto to be in the top 10. Primarily, he has 24 goals, which is pretty low and insignificant in the grand scheme of a lot of the players on the Hart Trophy list. And most a significant portion of his assists, I believe, are secondary assists. Right. They're not even primary. So according to Dom's model, which weights goals most for primary assists second and then secondary since third, he's like pretty low on the scale, which is, I think, like the best explanation for it. And most people would say, how can you be a Hart Trophy candidate if you're the second best player on your team? Because Barkov mm-hmm. is definitely better than Huberto and gets all the hard minutes, and Huberto can't play defense, which is the point yeah. Dom said too. He's like, a Hart Trophy winner is not only good in one zone, unless mm-hmm. you're McDavid, because you're dominant and crazy in the one zone, which Ty will have feeling towards.
I will always have.
But we're trying to not have the McDavid versus Matthews conversation again tonight, and I've let Ty know that.
Yeah, Ty's not allowed to do
so
that.
So what do you guys think? Is Huberto a MVP candidate?
Martin thought he was a top five player in the league a couple of weeks ago.
Man. I don't know. He's still sick. This guy is sick.
You can be sick without being an MVP candidate, though.
He also does not have 26 goals. He has 18. But he has 60.
So even worse.
So he has, but he has 60 assists in 57 games. Like, that's insanity.
Yeah, check, but I mean,
check primary assists next. Yeah.
The depth of the Panthers is insane, too.
Florida has like ridiculous, like unprecedented five on five offense. Like it's actually insane how good they are. Someone check Huberto's primary assists.
Yeah, where's the website you can do that very easily? Is it just the NHL?
No, I don't think NHL would have that.
No, they don't.
Primary assists. I'm looking at it. 37. Got 37 out of 60. 23 secondary assists.
That's a lot, though. I feel like
Goudreau is first. At 38. And then there's a steep drop off to 32 at with Patrick.
Cause secondary assists, yeah, like sometimes they're pretty secondary, but sometimes they're also pretty sick. Like you did a decent amount of the work.
Do you think that it should all, like every play should have secondary assists? Like basically what you did was usually you pass the puck to the guy who passed the puck to the guy who scored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes like you three, did more than you okay. did more work.
Sure. But that's very rarely the case.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Very
for
rarely. Sure. So maybe not every goal should have two assists.
Yeah. It's an interesting
not every goal does.
Well, yeah, because of like possession changes. Yeah, because changes, no but one let's just the say, puck. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So what I mean to say is that like maybe you should only get a secondary assist if it like actually contributed to the goal. I think people have had this yeah. debate before, but
they definitely
like should Jack Campbell get an assist for stopping the puck behind the net in which Brody does a huge breakout pass and one of them goes in and scores?
Yeah. That's
probably not.
Classic.
Like
it's a classic.
Unless Campbell was the one who like made a sick pass, you know, that led to a breakaway, you know what I mean? Like I don't know. You get a lot of random assists that the puck just bounces off of your stick or off of your leg or off of your skate.
Yeah.
Right.
Even primary assists aren't all that impressive. Quite a large portion of the time. They are more impressive.
They can be. if you're setting up Guy for open net, like, sick, unreal.
It'd be cool if there was like 5-man assists or like 5-player points. If like you're watching like a really sick power play where it's just super fluid or super sick, like nice cycle 5v5. Like, hey, why not give everyone a point because really impressive.
There are secondary assists and even primary assists that happen. Like, the guy's already subbed off. Like, should that guy really get the assist? Like, he's not even on the ice.
He's not even getting a plus.
Yeah, he's not getting
the most useless stat in the game.
I was going to say, that idea, Luke, of everyone getting an assist reminds me of, like, when you were playing House League hockey and there were those when you were a kid and everyone was captain.
Oh, yeah. Participation trophies?
Yeah, exactly. Participation trophies. Did you ever have
if you think about it, participation trophies were actually a thing. Like, the Tony Roman tournament, everyone, you always got, like,
I got a trophy every year at House League soccer level.
But, I mean, like, you're ass. Like, you're not competing for anything in House League.
Well, I was like, a little kid when I did House League.
Yeah, so you're ass.
Yeah, everyone got a trophy
pretty quick.
Like, 8th place trophy. Your team came in last. Good job, idiots.
But I think they also did a 1st place trophy.
Of course, that 1st place trophy is like bigger than like the part than the 8th place trophy. But like,
yeah. Everyone got a trophy. But I think it's So like, do you think Huberto is in the top? Is in the top 10?
He's in the top 10, I feel like, but he's not in anybody's top three. The top three is pretty much set at Matthews, McDavid, and Shesterkin, and Makar, Goudreau. You know, there are some other guys there.
Huberto's like up there for
Everyone's top five is some order of like of those five that are, McKinnon's probably in there, right? You don't see Huberto even listed in anyone's models or in anyone's projections or in anyone's like, you know, Hart Trophy picks, right? He's not even an honorable mention, I don't even think. Which is not to say, again, it's not to say he's not a bad player. It's not to say he's not a good player.
For Team Canada, like, he's a good player. he's pretty good.
Like,
he's pretty good.
But I mean to say, like, the value that he has. To me, and you said not to say this, but Austin Matthews is the Hart Trophy winner. I could see a case, though, of Igor Shesterkin winning it simply because of how insane he is as a goalie, right? The guy has like a 940 save percentage this year.
Absolutely historic right now. Yeah.
And is dragging that Rangers team to like a fraudulent, almost like a fraudulent first place finish. Because like, if you look at their stats, like their Corsi number is like worse than Ottawa, worse than Arizona, right? They get outshot like 48-20, but win 5-1.
Yeah.
And Chris Kreider is like shooting at ridiculous percentages, right? And I don't know. It's insane and Shesterkin just stopping everything. Did you see that stat? I think we talked about it on one of the podcasts where like Shesterkin's lost like 11 games in his professional career. I mean, it might be a different number than that, but like if you add up all of his losses in his professional career, like NHL, KHL, I think included AHL,
that's actually insane.
Yeah, let me pull that up here.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything. So you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
And now we'll get back into the show.
I think Austin Matthews has a very good case. It is difficult for Austin Matthews considering how good the team actually is. Like Shishorkin, like if he continues on the historic pace, like continues to be a historically good goalie for the rest of this year, and if New York wins that division, definitely I would say it kind of has to be Shishorkin.
Yeah, Shishorkin's making a pretty solid case that I don't know you could argue against too much, even as a Leafs and Matthews fan. I understand there's hesitancy to give it to a goalie. They already have an award. But I mean, like, if the definition is most valuable to the team, it's not even close that Shesterkin is the most valuable to the team.
But then they argue, like Kucherov's comments last year about Vasilevskiy could win it for Tampa Bay every year. Like, the Conn Smythe could win it.
I don't think the
MVP.
I don't think
that's a classic.
Because I see most valuable to the team is would they make the playoffs without this guy?
Look at the games when Georgiev's in net, man. Like, he gets lit up frequently. Like, compare the stats between the goalies. Like, I mean, yeah, sure, one's starting and one's backup goalie, but like, you know, I feel like a lot of
I was thinking about this because I saw that Georgiev was in net last night. I think You should almost judge how good a starting goalie is based on how bad the team is with the backup goalie. I get it's on the back normally on the second half of a back to back, but I mean, it does typically cover a lot of your defensive inefficiencies if you have a really good goalie, which is what Shesterkin's doing.
If we get back to defending, what's his name? Not Dom.
Allen,
if we get back to defending him just a little, just because agents get a lot of hate because like they come out like pretty hard and they seem pretty homer for their clients. Like, they're literally paid to do that. Like, it would be a little rattling to see that your client that leads his team by a considerable margin in scoring and your team and your client's team is the best team in the league. Like, it'd be pretty hard to say, hey, yeah, they're not. He's not even top 10 in voting. Like, it would be pretty rattling to see.
I would say it'd be rattling if you removed literally all context of what and who Dom is and does. Also, you have 18 goals.
I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying as an agent.
Like, you have 18 goals.
But Austin Matthews has 37 goals in his last 38 games.
Yeah.
That is literally...
The leading goal scorer every year doesn't win the Hart Trophy. Like, let's be honest here. That rarely happens.
Austin Matthews could literally win the Rocket, and he could also win the Selke in the same year. Has that ever happened?
And if he wins those two, he should definitely win the Hart. Like, you have to.
Right, I don't think he'll win the Selke, but
he'll be up there for Selke. Like,
yeah,
if you,
I don't think he wins the Selke.
Bergeron will win it. Yeah, I mean, the big knock on Matthews is he doesn't kill penalties. And maybe this is a conversation we can have with Eric one week. Like, should a guy who's, you know, who never kills penalties get Selke nomination? But, like, you know,
I'm going to say Matthews, no on that
okay,
one.
Okay, whatever.
Right now.
Yeah, what.
I don't know.
You have to kill penalties as a forward.
Austin Matthews, 5-on-5 defense is like insanely good. And just watching it, every time Matthews is on the ice, like he's on the puck and battling for the puck and always in the right position. And the stick lifts, stick checks that he does, man, and how he gets the puck, like it's actually insane.
And he's sneaky fast. Like that's under talked about how fast he is, just because, like,
for a big guy, he's like 6'3", and he's like, you know, 215 pounds, and
he's
flying
long strides.
But he's still running into nets with his face.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think there's much defense for Allen in this case. Personally, I think
other than it was funny,
but it was extremely unprofessional. People talk about your players all the time. I think you can still acknowledge that he's having a great season without being a Hart candidate. Like, come on. Like, your team has 237 goals, all right? And your guy has assists on a third of them, which is still impressive. But, I mean, like, it's nothing to bat your eye about if he only has 18. He doesn't even have 10% of the goals. He doesn't even have, like, 8% of the goals of the team.
But he's not a goal scorer. Like, that's not his thing.
Doesn't matter. I mean, who's putting the puck in the net then?
It makes it more difficult because, like, your Hart Trophy candidate should have, like, 30 goals, like, at least 30 goals, like, and a decent
Huberto is not the best player on his line, right? Yeah. He's not the best player on his team. Barkov's the best. Yeah. You could even argue that guys like Ekblad and Verhaeghe and Bobrovsky this year have been more valuable than Huberto.
Yeah.
That's debatable.
He's tied for fifth in goals on his team. Sam Reinhart, Anthony Duclair, Sam Bennett, and Alexander Barkov are all higher.
And Barkov has played and was injured for like several weeks.
Yeah. Barkov's point per game average is about the same as Huberto's. So I'm just saying, if you want to go there, Huberto really doesn't have much of an argument to be made on his own team for the Hart Trophy. Maybe the Art Ross, but that's about it.
And we don't give awards by sorting points top to bottom, right? You know what I mean?
Unless it's Art Ross.
We're smarter this year. We're smarter in 2022, usually smarter in 2022 when voting for these than just, you know, sort by points.
Oh, they're still pretty bad at voting.
They're still pretty bad, but
I mean, Bergeron's going to get it. One, because I think he deserves it according to everything I've seen. But two, it's going to be a legacy choice, and he doesn't really have that many more to win, probably. For Selke, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's much of an argument to be made against him. Although top three are probably him, Barkov, and Matthews. Like, I think Matthews might get a nomination this year just because of how much attention he is drawing.
McDavid could if he
wanted to.
If you want to talk about how valuable Matthews is to his team, even though the Leafs might be, like, you know, a top 5 to 10 team in the NHL this year, like, he is the offense of that team right now. And he is literally outscoring and helping the Leafs outscore the worst goaltending since 2022 began. Like, by far the worst goaltending in the league.
Yeah. You know? And now he's 5 goals ahead on everyone else with missing, like, the first – I think I saw a stat. He got 1 goal in the first 7 games or something like that.
And he missed the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, he only missed 3 games, so relax.
Oh, whatever. He gave him a head start, and he just came out of nowhere. Yeah. He's going to score 60 goals this year, man. He is the best – like, I was a big – growing up, a big Matt Sundin fan. Matthews is, like, the best player I've ever seen on my team.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I think he's only second in points now, too. Actually, he's actually fourth in points. So he's skyrocketed up because I think over the last, like, 20 games, he's got, like, 50 points or something like that. So Anyways, off of that. Now, what's the next thing we want to talk about, Ty? We can talk about how bad Detroit's been.
Oh yeah, Detroit. Okay, Detroit's a mess. Okay. Let's talk about that. They almost gave up 10 goals again for the second time in 2 weeks.
To Arizona.
I mean, Arizona's an offensive juggernaut now. They're offensive juggernaut. They beat up on Ottawa. Nick Schmaltz has 12 points in his last two games.
Oh, man, it's insane. It's insane.
But like, what's wrong with Detroit?
He's gotten himself to a point per game player. Like that's
crazy. What happened? Like, so they had a great start. And I think that they're a team that has the pieces in place. They need a center, and I think they need a goalie. I don't think Nedeljkovic is showing that, you know, he's the guy. But they have their defenseman. They have a actual elite winger in Lucas Raymond, right? They need to fill in the rest of their team. Unfortunately, Zadina hasn't been good at all. They have Steve Yzerman in charge.
They started out really hot, but that was obvious. That was pretty obvious that wasn't going to be sustainable.
Well, Sider's great, right, on D. Like even it, with this team sucking defensively and giving up 10 goals a night, he's great. He's a stud.
But who else do they have on D?
Right. You have the building blocks. You have your core, right? Yeah, Raymond on forward is going to – he needs a center. Like, I'm sorry, Larkin is actually a good – I don't know why I said they need a center, but Larkin's a good center there.
Larkin's good.
They need to fill out Bertuzzi's the rest of their team. Bertuzzi's good.
They have like a top four, and then it just dies.
Their goalie is question mark. Nedeljkovic is getting lit up on a nightly basis. Do they have anyone else coming up? Not really. Joe Valeno isn't great.
Well, that's why they went out and signed Nedeljkovic, because they didn't have anybody, and they're like, "Oh, he's young. Like we can."
Yeah, they give. I mean, he was a Calder nominee, and he just like
that's
I don't
looking
know,
like a better move by Carolina every day to get rid of him and bring in Freddie Anderson. Just saying. Sure.
Just wait for Freddie Anderson to get lit up in the playoffs. Is all I'm going to say.
He's playing in a no pressure market though. It's got to feel pretty good.
He was playing in a no pressure market in Anaheim, and the same thing happened. I'll send you the highlights of when Jonathan Toews just scored.
He was a lot younger in Anaheim. Like
25?
Completely different points. But he was also the secondary to Gibson. No. Like that was always.
In the playoffs, no.
Gibson.
He wasn't secondary to
Gibson. If anything, they were tandem.
That's why they traded him in 2016 to the Leafs so that they could play Gibson, essentially. Anderson had a huge choke against Chicago in the playoffs 1 year. A huge, like that started his downfall in like elimination games, right? Like he was the reason they lost that series.
True.
Right.
Watch Carolina win the cup. Anderson's going to hoist it.
I can't. Yeah. What, you know what? I don't even care because I don't want, I am so glad I don't need to watch Frederick Anderson in an elimination game. There's no way he would have done this with the Leafs. And if the Leafs had re-signed him to whatever contract Carolina signed him to, like 3 years at $5 million or whatever it is, right? It would have looked terrible because he had an 898 last year. 898 save percentage last year. And the year before that was also brutal, right? Like, don't get me wrong. Anderson, his first couple of years in Toronto, like dragged that team on his back, right? Yeah. But when the team was actually good defensively, he wasn't. And you want to talk about like how Luke talked about earlier, like you want to compare your goalies, you know, when one plays versus the other. Like last year when Campbell was playing, it was a totally different team and totally different results than when Frederick Anderson was in net. And Campbell was great to start this year. You really hope as a Leafs fan that he figures it out. But like if they re-signed Freddie Anderson in Toronto, it would have just been a terrible contract and people would have ripped them the Leafs for it and it would not have worked out.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it was he needed to leave,
and I'm fine with it. I don't care if he wins the Vezina this year. I don't care if he's, you know, one of the top. I literally don't care. I'm glad he's not on my team anymore.
Leafs fans don't like this, but like, what if Campbell doesn't work? Like, what if he sucks? What if he just continues to suck?
We're in a the bad thing spot. Is, like, he had a game against, it was against Pittsburgh a couple of weeks, like, ago.
Do you think they sign him if they do nothing in the playoffs?
I think they signed. No, I don't think so. I think Campbell needs to prove himself here.
Yeah.
Or they bring him back on like another 1 year deal, maybe two. Yeah. I don't think he gets a long term deal unless he can carry the Leafs from now until for the rest of the season. They need to figure it out. And Mrazek is, I know people don't like Mrazek and he's very wild in the net. He's okay. He is what he is. I don't mean to say like he's been good by any means, but he also hasn't been unplayable bad. Campbell was like unplayable bad the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been pretty atrocious.
The Leafs defensively.
I don't really know what the Leafs do.
The Leafs defensively have also not been good.
Yeah, they haven't been amazing.
Muzzin being out, actually, I know I said a couple of weeks ago that, you know, Muzzin is a liability, but seeing all of these, and as Sheldon Keefe even said, like seeing all of these deflection goals go in, like it is unbelievable how many of these deflection goals are going in against the Leafs right now, right? What Muzzin is good at is like defending in front of the net, basically, right? Tying people up, boxing them out, whatever, so they can't get these deflections. How many, like, there's been at least two a game, man. Yesterday they were, what, two? Against Columbus, there was one. Against the Canucks, there was like this three.
It seems like it should be a coachable thing, that issue. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like,
and I mean, some of them are random bounces. Like, some of them, it bounces off a guy's shin pad and ends up in the back of the net. But
it sounds like some of the stuff the Leafs are doing defensively are literally just, like, very coachable, or they should be coachable moments.
They're not giving up anything on the rush. And Keefe even said it in a press conference. Sorry to make this whole conversation about the Leafs, everybody, but Keefe said in a press conference that the Leafs, since the game against Montreal, lead the league in, like, well, I guess they're the best in the league at preventing rush chances. So they're not giving up anything on the rush. Very few rush chances. But they're giving up a lot of goals still because of, you know, these deflections. The goalie's not making the saves that they were getting earlier in the season. Like, everyone thinks the Leafs are struggling right now. Imagine if Jack Campbell was putting up a 920 like he was.
Yeah.
You know, the first 3 months.
They need to be getting average goaltending. They're not.
And the Leafs can win with average goaltending. They're showing they can win giving up, you know, 5 goals a game. Right.
Yeah, they can score a lot. If they're only giving up 3 goals a game, they can outscore 3 goals most games.
You just need the goalie to make one save.
With Campbell the way he is, I'm saying Canada's best chance for a cup is definitely Calgary.
Tyler Toffoli's been a godsend, man. And I really wish some other team would have, well, I mean, I really wish my team would have stepped up and kind of given a comparable offer, because I think we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, right? When the trade happened.
But
like,
would Toffoli have worked well as well?
Yeah, Toffoli would have been a perfect fit for Toronto, I think.
Okay.
Toffoli, okay. If they gave up something like a first and...
We'll never know, but okay.
I think that he would have been great. And he is... But look at how well he's fit in Calgary. And I think we even called that. Like, me and Eric were saying, like, he's like a
Eric
perfect fit.
Eric was a very big fan.
A Eric perfect a fit fan. For that team, and look at him go. Like, you know,
they have a good team.
I don't think anyone expected that. I don't think anyone expected that this year.
Well, they sucked last year, but like they were supposed to be good last year.
Every player on Calgary last year underperformed.
Yeah, exactly. Like Goodrow was bad.
Everyone said if they don't have bounce back years, they're probably washed. But then they all had bounce back years. So, yeah. I mean, I guess everyone's more surprised that they all had bounce back years and they all had down years. But I think, again, Daryl Sutter didn't
have bounce back years. But like, they also had guys just like continue to perform. Like Mangiapane came out last year as a good player and then he stayed a good player this year.
Mm-hmm. But Daryl Sutter didn't have, he was hired mid year last year, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But they weren't even good when he was there. Right. No.
But that's, I feel like it's difficult to get good. Like,
yeah, Florida wasn't good with Quinville the first year, and then like when he was hired halfway through, and then
no, he wasn't hired halfway through.
Oh right,
he was hired at the beginning.
Yeah, he was hired in the summer. Either way, like I think that does matter to have the training camp to do those things.
To get used to
the coach. I don't know why, but yeah. I guess it's a lot more time with the coach.
And again, but... I don't think anyone expected it because they lost Giordano as well, right? And he was such a big part of their team.
I think they should bring Gio back. Biggest trade deadline move they should do is bring Gio back. That'd be awesome. That'd be amazing. Yeah. I think it's a good story. I think it's actually a good move if you're bringing him back and playing him as like a third defensive line guy. Like, that's huge.
One thing I wanted to talk about, and maybe we can call it a night after that, is making another
Ottawa not being a bad team.
Well, no, Martin, you're an idiot for that. I wanted to say
Ottawa's not a bad team.
Oh my god,
we'll get
okay.
it. We'll,
you
we'll
know
get
what,
into
Martin,
it after, but
you know
don't
what,
yell into your mic.
Let's
okay?
stop yelling, okay? Look at you got to look at your sound bar here, Martin. Every time you're talking.
Hey man, Martin, I wouldn't Martin, be yelling before this.
Martin figured out how to. Martin still can't remember to turn down his mic sometimes. Today is one of those days.
My sound bar is less than yours.
No, it's not. What are you...
I don't know what you're looking at, Martin, but it's
on average.
No, it's definitely not.
No. It's not.
Anyways, Ty, what were you going
to
say?
What I wanted to say was Dallas. Dallas is a run that they've been having.
Well, Jason
like,
Robertson's run.
Jason Robert, run. Yeah, Jason Robertson, two back-to-back hat tricks, man. That like, come on.
That's good.
They've actually like propelled themselves into like a playoff position, right? Out of nowhere. They were looking like they were ready to sell. They're not in a playoff position.
Well, I think didn't we talk about that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, they're like, are they going to sell or not?
Yeah,
like
in the middle. Are they going to buy? They're in the middle, and I mean, yeah, it's been mostly Robertson. I mean, yeah, they're not safely. They're in a wild card spot, but they're not safely there.
But the past month, they've thrown themselves into this position. Like they were out. They were down and out.
Is it really the Stars playing into it, or is it like teams like the Oilers just sucking and playing themselves out? Because like the Oilers are not in a playoffs position, and
good.
The Stars would be their competition.
Well, Anaheim's not that far behind either. Vancouver's not that far behind.
Yeah, Vancouver's making a run as well.
Winnipeg's
Winnipeg's done.
Winnipeg's done. 10 of their games have been overtime, so I don't really count them as winners.
Jets are pretty done.
There were some interesting Twitter rumors coming out of Winnipeg last year, eh? Or I mean, last week.
Yeah, and I saw that the trucker thing, Paul Stastny.
But there was a reporter who worked
with Winnipeg. The
worst people you've ever met in my life. He's
not
like
surprised.
Things he said about Scheifele, things he said or Blake hinted Wheeler. At with Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, kind of linked back to the Line A getting driven out of town by Wheeler and Scheifele. Paul Maurice never standing up for his guys, or like creating a terrible culture. There was some like interesting stuff on Twitter. If anyone wants to go listen to it or like search for it on Twitter.
Which is good because the Winnipeg Jets get the softest media coverage like every single year. Everyone's like, oh, the Jets are the best team in Canada.
I'm still a little rattled. Shovel Dayoff kept his job didn't step away. That's still rattling. I don't think that's good for the Jets organizer. Like at this point, he should be fired. Like you can't let him have a chance to rebuild this team because this has been his team and they haven't done well. So even now, he's underperform, like he's not performing. So like you have two reasons to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's anything insane. Else you want to talk about before we go?
I mean, I think we could talk a little bit before we go about
okay.
how Ottawa isn't bad.
Okay.
According to
Martin, let's hear that.
For context, Martin randomly said in our group chat last night that Ottawa is not a bad team.
Well, I was watching the Ottawa
to which
game.
We all said they are quantifiably bad. And then Martin's like, they lose most of their game by one goals. And then I went and screenshot, I think 15 games where they lost by two goals or more.
It was two goals, most of those ones. And two goals is basically one. one of those two is an empty netter. Empty netters do not count as an additional.
How do you know? Did you look at every game to see if they're
empty netters? No, but like it's just foreseeable that they are. Like,
no, I don't
that's
think
one
so.
Thing
that's not foreseeable.
But also Drake Batherson's been out for a long time.
Martin said this
and
after they beat.
They
the
are
Saint
performing well.
They're performing
they
well.
They perform
and
well against good teams. They perform shitty against bad teams at some points.
That sounds like Leafs back in 2015, 2015, 2016, first year Mike Babcock.
Yeah.
Matthew Perreault.
And then they got lucky with
no PA parent Joe actually.
Toronto, drafting Austin Matthews.
True. You're going to get just as lucky with what? Who's it? This year, Shane Wright? Right.
No, they're not. They're, I don't think Ottawa's bad enough to get there. To get
Ottawa
doesn't
have a good chance at him. No.
Ottawa's not bad enough? Bro, they're 27th in a league of 31.
32.
Sorry, 32.
The top three have way better chances than any of the other people.
I know. Didn't the New York Rangers move up quite a lot?
Yeah. Well, like, it's pretty random. Times in a row. It's quite random. Like,
I know, but I'm just saying the top teams have a bigger chance of not getting it than getting it.
And also remember your first round pick last year was like 9th overall and they took that power forward guy who doesn't even score.
Oh yeah, because you have Pierre Maguire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb.
He's probably not even gonna draft Shane Wright, even if he does.
You wanna know what's really funny? Is when you look at what Eugene Melnick and Pierre
Shane
Dorion.
This year? I don't know. Like,
he's actually like good. No, he's good.
Shane Wright has not been performing.
Martin, no. He has not been.
He's a future Selke winner, bro. He's not.
He's fine. There's no way he's not going first overall. My head scout says so. That anyone who says that is just out.
Isn't this year's draft year pretty bad though?
No,
it's pretty subpar.
No, there's a lot of good. There's some good
players. Isn't there that one guy in the KHL who's like sick with it?
If you're talking about Michkov, that's next year's.
Oh,
that's
yeah. With
Connor Bedard.
Connor Bedard.
Really that good. Next year is the one where you want to get
Isn't
first
Brad
overall.
Brad Lambert still next year, too?
No, Brad Lambert's this year. And he's like probably going to go top
this
10.
Year?
Yeah.
True. All I'm saying, Ottawa is doing what they need to do. Like this.
Yeah. Well, you want to also want to know what your team
still
said.
Bad.
Your team said that by 2021, they'll be a contender.
Yeah. Well, fucking.
What do you have to show from the Mark Stone trade right now? What do you have to show from... Okay, Erik Karlsson trade worked out great.
Hey, man.
What do you have to show...
Toronto was bad for a long time with good ownership. Ottawa's been bad for like 5 years with shitty ownership.
The Leafs did not have good... It's not even the ownership, okay?
The ownership
for the Leafs has been the same. They haven't had good GMs since in my lifetime, right? I mean...
John Ferguson Jr. was not good.
Brian Burke's a smart dude.
Get out of here. Okay.
He's a smart dude, man. You can't deny that.
Like the Leafs from the early 2000s, of, you know, when my childhood were great. And
didn't
then after
Burke
that,
get the Sedins?
Yeah, he did. But we're talking about
his whole career is built on the Sedins.
Didn't Burke do the same thing in Anaheim, get Getzlaff and Perry in the same draft?
No.
Pretty sure.
I think that was two different drafts.
It's two different drafts.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
And they were also, like, they also were not, like, the whole story of that was they were twins and they got back to back. Come on.
Well, no shit, but like.
In 1998. What did he do with the Leafs from 2010 when he was hired until he was fired in 2014 or 2013?
Joffrey Lupo.
Phil Kessel, you know, how did that work out for the Leafs, right? I don't know, man.
I was right. Getzlaff and Perry were in the same draft, so fuck you guys.
Ooh, nice, way to go.
Congrats, Martin.
You can be right about that and wrong that Ottawa's not bad.
Like, honestly, like, what do they have? What do they have to show for Mark Stone? Tell me that.
It's a good thing that they're bad because, as you said, they're being what they're supposed to be right now. They have good building blocks.
You think
their record is worse than they are? Another thing that looks bad on them is, which is funny, they're ahead of Buffalo now. But like Buffalo was looking better than them at the beginning of the year. Detroit's overperforming, which is making Ottawa look worse. But like realistically, Ottawa is a better team than Detroit.
I don't think so. I think that Detroit's building blocks of the team are much better than Ottawa's.
No.
Larkin?
No.
Raymond and Sider?
Incorrect. Larkin's getting old, man. For Detroit's window of going to be good, Larkin's going to be just exiting.
Larkin's fine. Larkin's fine till he's 30. Detroit has a smart GM, right? They got Steve Yzerman, probably one of the best GMs in the league. And I mean, they're struggling. Sure, they need a new coach. Jeff Blashill is not it, very clearly. But like, Ottawa's routinely playing Nikita Zaitsev, and they still will for another 2 years.
Who else do they have?
Jacob Bernard, Docker. I don't know anybody. Eric Brännström.
Brännström sucks. Eric Brännström showing like they should bail from that and try to at least salvage some of that trade.
Because it's
showing quite clearly that Brännström's not going to perform at the NHL level.
Like, okay, fine.
And they need to bail while he still has a little bit of potential.
But value. He's better than I would rather play him than Nikita Zaitsev right now. For the next
have
2 years.
Have you seen Brännström play?
Yes, I have.
And no,
I told
you don't
you,
want him on
I
ice
told
instead
you,
of Brännström instead
told
of
you,
right now.
I told you he was not it. A year ago.
Yeah, but everybody thought he was. Like, so you need to trade him still while you think he is.
Scout Ty was right again in his analysis. So you have nothing to show for Mark Stone.
When you trade him one for one for fucking prospect, that you're not going to have much to show for him. That was an insane trade at the time.
Your team has been rebuilding for what, 4 years now? Four seasons?
Four or five, yeah. Something like that.
And they are still in the same position they were 4 or 5 seasons ago. They moved up three places from last. Congratulations. Let's hear what you have to say, Martin. In your 4 or 5 seasons, you've gone from the worst team in the league to the fourth worst team in the league.
Give them another 2 years, bro.
They're the fifth worst team, FYI, right now. And like I said, they're better than the Red Wings this year. I don't know what's wrong with the Islanders, but they're competitive with the Devils this year. The Jets kind of suck this year, but they're better than the Blackhawks. They're better than the Coyotes, obviously. The Sharks, the Ducks are having some sort of like unreal finding themselves time.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we're going to say. Martin, like I sent a really good tweet yesterday. This is what you're doing right now. If they didn't lose those games that they lost and won them instead, they would be in first place. I know.
But you're also not Drake Batherson being out is huge. It's a like, huge loss, and he's been out for almost 20 games.
Every
now.
Team goes through injury and loss.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, but when it's one of the worst team, one of the bottom 10 teams in the league,
would your team be in a playoff position with him?
No, I'm not saying they're a playoff team. I'm saying they're better than they are right now. That's
all
I'm saying.
Stop shouting. So why would you want him? Why would you want him on your team if we want to lose?
We don't want to lose this year. We don't need to be in the bottom
your
three,
draft
that
last
looks awful.
Year was useless. Your draft last year was wow. You drafted no NHL players.
You're getting mad at me for bad management. I'm agreeing with you.
What you said was what you said last night was you can't say Ottawa is a bad team.
They're not a bad team. They are not a bad team. They're better than what they've shown this
okay.
year.
Okay. But you have 100%. No players coming up because all the players you drafted are bad. So you're only getting worse.
Bro, we're also like, what, Shabbat's the oldest of our top four scorers? And he's, what, 24? That's insane. That's unreal.
Yeah, Martin. Your team's bad.
Good. Our top seven scorers are below the age of 25.
Your team is right where they're supposed to be, as you said, which means they're bad. They're getting good.
Again, Martin. Your team thought they would be a contender 5 years
ago.
And instead, they're in the same. They've gone up one position one position per season.
Okay, guys, we're over. We're done. No, we're done. How many cups has Ottawa ever won? Oh, that's right. Zero.
Congratulations!
How many cups has Toronto won in Ottawa's existence?
Zero. What's your point?
How many cup finals as Ottawa? We're tied. As Toronto made in Ottawa's existence.
Martin, hey. On average, a team will win the Stanley Cup every 32 years.
N-O-Tool. Boomsies.
Because there's 32 teams in the league. Your average is one every 32 years. People act like, oh my goodness, you haven't won a cup. Wait till they win a cup. Bro, most teams in the NHL have not won a cup. I hope people know that. I hope people realize that whenever they say the argument, I don't know who your 31 teams a year don't win the cup. That's a terrible argument for anyone.
Okay. Anyways. We're done here.
We're done.
Before Martin
2004 last playoff.
Ottawa is bad. Goodbye. Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.